My Father, my God, I come into your presence by blood of Jesus, confessing my sins of omission and of commission. Lord, I approach this time of prayer, this service, Lord God, with reverence and godly fear, and ask, Father, for fresh release of mercies to be faithful, sufficient grace to minister as an oracle, Lord God, and the help of Holy Spirit. Lord God, I duck under the covering of my fathers, and as I speak today, I will speak as an oracle of God. As your word goes forth, let it go forth, Father, in power, in clarity, in simplicity, in the comfort and love of the Holy Spirit, to do an internal and eternal work in our hearts and life, causing our wills to become more humble, our minds to be further enlightened with revelation knowledge that comes from the word today, and our emotions further controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Spirit. I also pray of mercy on the time to redeem the time, not to say anything that are necessary. As the word goes forth, let it break yokes in our life, let it set men free, bring in healing in our lives. Let your kingdom come, Father, and let your will be done. Holy Spirit, come and glorify our Lord Jesus as we go to the service today. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The title of my message this evening is The Way of an Eagle in the Air. Let's say God, the way of an eagle in the air. And the message came to me from the message our pastor preached on Sunday about eagle sins soar by groanings. It was a very, very important message. And I will encourage us to please go back to listen to it. And you know, let me share also about another guardian us. I'll be talking about some of those things today. I'm trusting that God will help me to explain or amplify to a certain degree some of the things that they shared that day. So let's open our Bibles to the book of Proverbs chapter 30. We read verses 18 and 19. Let's open to Proverbs 30 verses 18 and 19. King James Version. Are we there? What does this say? Say, there be three things which are too wonderful for me, yea, four which I know not. Let's read together. Verse 19 says, the way of an eagle in the air, full stop because of time. It goes on to talk about the way of a serpent. But we are looking today about concerning the way of an eagle in the air. He said, there are three things that are too wonderful for me. Say, four are just that it cannot explain. The way of an eagle in the air, which is what Pastor was sharing with us on Sunday. The eagle is a very peculiar, but you see, God wants us, like Pastor said, to be eagle saints. God uses animals, you know, to describe certain characteristics that he wants us. In fact, you know, he uses the dove that we're singing to describe the Holy Spirit. So you see, there are some things we are going to see today about the eagle that God wants us to become or to emulate or to practice, you know, which are attributes that God wants every Christian to be. And Pastor, when he spoke on Sunday, said there are three kinds of Christians. He said there are Christians that are chickens, there are birds, and then there are Christians that are eagles. Now, let's see how we can become an eagle. This year has been declared as the year of a committed overcomer vanguard. Right or wrong? Yes, you got a year of what? Committed overcomer vanguard. What are we supposed to overcome? I'll summarize. We are supposed to overcome the gravitational pull of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life that is seeking to hold us down onto the ground. That doesn't want us to soar high above in the heavens. These are the things that hold us back from mounting up with wings as eagles. So that is what we are called to overcome. To overcome the gravitational pull of the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life that keeps us outbound. You see, when you are outbound, I'm getting out of myself. Different things, that speaks about a carnal Christian. You see, in Psalm 91, it says that God will deliver us from the snare of the fowler. The fowler places the snare, that is the trap, on the ground. There's nobody can set a trap in midair. Are you with me? So that's why God wants us to soar high in the clouds. Praise the Lord. So it's very important for us to know that. And that is why God is bringing this message once again to us today. He wants us to mount up with wings as good. In that realm in which Satan has no answer. You see, right on heart, you see, the Bible says that call Satan the god of this world. So right now, we are praying, so to speak, and the way match. But our own match is in heavenly places, where Satan is. He has no answer. We begin to soar high in the heavenly places. Praise the Lord. So, like I wrote in my notes, let's open our Bible to a scripture. You know, Revelation chapter 12, verse 5. God is calling us to the throne. It says, and she's talking about the man child. We know the scripture, but what I want us to see is this. You see, the destiny of us as eagle saints is for us to rule over the nations of the world. All nations. You see, in the book of Ephesians, it says that potentially, it says that we are seated with Christ in the heavenly place. Well, vitally, that is not our experience. Only a few fathers I have attained unto it. But God wants every one of us. So you see, when he says that we are seated with in the heavenly place of Christ Jesus, that is not our experience. But God wants us to transit from that that state to experience it vitally. So what does it say? It says that, and she brought forth a man child who was ruler all, say all nations. God wants you to rule Afghanistan. He wants you to rule every nation. All nations. He said, with what? With a rod of iron, and our child was caught up unto God and to his throne. What is the difference? That's the difference. That's the message for you. Let me just mention and go on. You see, everybody, every Christian at one time or the other will cut up, depending on the flight you go. But it's not every word that will cut up to God that will sit on his throne. Are you with me? So they will cut up unto God, one, and then unto his throne. He's talking about the man-child company, praise the Lord. So, the destiny, like I said, of the community of Overcomer Vanguard is to be caught up and to rule with the rod of iron over all nations. Name with Russia, whatever, a nation, Nigeria, every nation. And again, to bring it home to every ethnos, not just geopolitical nations, but ethnos also is the same thing. Revelation chapter 12, verse 5. We just read that, praise the Lord. Says, and she brought forth a man child who was ruler of nations with the rod of iron. Revelation chapter 3, verse 21. Revelation chapter 3, verse 21. This is the ultimate. This is the destiny of us as Christians. When the Lord Jesus Christ was talking to the churches and rebuking them, book of Revelations. You know, blessing or the promise, you know, kept on increasing. You know, eat of the tree of life, you do this. The final one. You see, God is so good. He used the Laodicean church. He used the weakness of his word to make us know that, look, he was talking to the Laodicean church. He said that he that overcometh, can you imagine? That is what he told the weakest church. The church that will say can never make it. So we can make it in Jesus' name. So God says, he was using that Laodicean church. He said, look, your own destiny, which is destiny for every Christian. Say, to him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. That is the destiny of the sons of God. You remember in the Gospels, he was telling the 12 disciples, including Judas. He said, those of you that have continued with me shall sit in thrones in heaven, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Praise the Lord. Now, I have it here in my notes. Say, the Lord is speaking to us. I follow him. I picked up from where mommy shared, you know, that day. Because this is not our experience. And the main reason why it is not our experience, because you see, for you to sit on the throne, you have to grow up spiritually. So the majority of the people in the church, almost of us Christians, we are still spiritually immature. Can you imagine if we put a small boy on the throne? We see some examples in the Old Testament. Where people like Manasseh started reading at the age of 12. They misbehaved terribly. Even Solomon. Why? Because they were spiritually immature. So let's go to John chapter 21 verse 18. Where the Lord Jesus was talking to Peter. He said, at this time, all of them were spiritual babies. And what he was telling was very, very prophetic. Because they had only been with Lord Jesus Christ 3.5 years. Are you with me? So they were spiritual babies. They only were privileged to partake of a bold anointing on the Lord Jesus Christ. So he told Peter, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, when thou was young, spiritually immature, thou gathest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, matured, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands. Say, stretch forth thy hands. And another shall what? Guard thee. And carry thee whither thou wouldest not. When you are old, something, a transition, something will take place. Another person will guard you. The person that guards us is the Holy Spirit. When Lord Jesus Christ was praying, let scripture interpret scripture in the book of John. He said, I will pray the Father, and I will give unto you another comforter, and he will abide with you forever. Are you with me? So is that the another that Jesus Christ has sent to guard us? So when we start growing up spiritually, it's going to take us, carry us where we don't want to go. Now the question is, where is it that we don't want to go? It's very important for us to know. Because I imagine different thinkers, okay, I don't want to go to this, I want to go on. We're not talking about going to physical locations. It's a spiritual location that he wants to take us to, which we don't want to go. Praise the Lord. So, I put it in my note. I say that God is guiding us by his spirit through mature eagles. No matter, we are talking about the way of the eagle leader. So he's guiding us by spirit through mature eagles who are daily taking us where we don't want to go through groanings and prayers. No, I don't know anybody that normally, naturally want to wake up at 3 a.m., 4 a.m. to pray. Are you with me? But you see, that is the natural flesh. But you see, how does God guard us? He uses those in authority who are the type of the eagles to guard us daily. You see, he's not going to come and guide you, you know, and in the sense, because I'm going to get to you later. And say, okay, some people say I'm being led by spirit. There's a truth in that. But the kind of warfare that we are involved in, you need to learn to soar in the heavenly place. Some people that have experience. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. We are talking about prayer today, in particular travel. A disciple asked Lord Jesus, I said, Lord, teach us to pray. As John taught his disciples to what? Pray. So it means that you can teach people to pray. It is the responsibility of a leadership to teach those that are under them to pray. Prayer for every saint does not come naturally. The Bible says, in the days that there was no king in Israel, every man did that was right in his own eyes. That is the state of the church today. Everybody prays the way they want to pray. Because there is no king in Israel. Because in your eyes, okay, my own is just thanksgiving. Okay, I don't have to groan. It's not compulsory. And why? Because there is no king in Israel. But see, the leadership is supposed to lead the people by precepts and by example. That by Jesus Christ taught the disciples to pray. He said, when you pray, say, our Father who art in heaven. Then after he stayed at Gethsemane, he brought them near again to see another level of prayer. Same thing with John. So they said, look, teach us to pray. Like John taught the disciples to pray. That means those guys observed something. The way that John prayed was different from the way Jesus Christ prayed. Or else, why would they say that I should teach them to pray? Are you with me? So we're going to look at that as we continue. So what am I saying? That is why, just to mention in passing, you have, thank God for the good morning, Jesus, is a forum to teach people to pray, to mount up with wings as eagles. Are you with me? It is very, very important. It is, like I said again, as they teach us to pray, we learn by following them. Are you with me? We learn. You can't sit in your house and learn how to pray. You need somebody to take you step by step. Are you with me? And then teach you how to pray. So you don't get lost in the realm of the spirit. Or Satan doesn't divert your attention. Or you go into error or into excess that we have in the body of Christ today. Excesses of things that people do. Do they have it? Why? Because the leadership in the church has failed in their responsibility. Either they teach them and they don't do it. Or they do it but they don't even understand. They don't have the exact precise knowledge of how the master himself prayed. Praise the Lord. So it's very important. So I put it in my notes. I said, it's a time for eagles to soar. You know, we are talking about the soaring of the eagles in the air. So I said, it is time for the eagles to soar in the heavenly places. Your mommy keeps saying these things. She will say, let the eagles fly. Let the eagles fly. We're going to look at it today and see how the eaglets learn how to fly. You see, the eaglet can't just wake up one day. Like, that's a baby eagle. And begin to fly. It will be prayer for the devil or predator. Now, and she also quotes the scripture as I was praying and meditating. You know, she prays the scripture all the time. During the Thanksgiving service, she said, I make sure you pray this prayer from Isaiah 59, verse 21. That says that the Spirit of the Lord that is upon me and my words that I said, this is my covenant with you, said the Lord. This my Spirit that is upon thee and my word which I have put in your mouth shall not depart out of my mouth, out of the mouth of thy seed, or out of the mouth of thy seed, said the Lord, from henceforth forevermore. Now, it is when the scriptures were written, they were not written in chapter and verse. So the next thing that follows is that the consequence of that is for us to arise and shine. Say, eagle saints arise. So you see, that means that if the spirit departs and the word departs, the consequence is that Isaiah 60 will not take place. That is not our portion. Give me Isaiah 60, Isaiah 59. Verse 21 in the King James Bible. Give me the Amplified. Sorry, I meant Amplified Bible. He said, my covenant that I have with you is this. The man will say, it's the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob. Why? Because he wants that same spirit upon the fathers to rest upon the children. What does this say? Let's see. As for me, This is my covenant or league with them, says the Lord. My spirit who is upon you and who writes the law of God inwardly on the heart. And my words which are put in your mouth shall not depart out of your mouth or out of the mouth of your word through spiritual children. Very important. Many have heard this message and have departed. Are you with me? So true spiritual children, those that are following after or out of the mouth of your children's children, says the Lord, from henceforth forevermore. The consequence of that is the next thing. The eagle saints will arise and shine. Why? For their light is come and the glory of the Lord is upon them. That is, these are the things, the prerequisite for Isaiah 60 verse 1 to take place. Now the question is this, just as a side, what do we do as spiritual children that can make the spirit depart from us? It's very, very simple. If you look at the life of Samson, the Bible said he wished not that the spirit had what? Departed. Spiritual or physical adultery or fornication would make the spirit disappear. If he starts fornicating with the spirit of Babylon, he said that spirit will not depart. Now, how will you know if that departed? Look at the life of Samson as a type. You see, the root cause. You know what the root cause is? God had told Manoah and the husband that, look, this child shall not eat this, shall not do this, shall be a Nazarene. So the onus was on their parents to make sure that the spirit does not depart. So when Samson was trying to have his own way, I said, this is what I want. And the parents, they kept quiet. No. So when you enter the wrong relationship, are you with me? Or being yoked with an unequal yoke of an unbeliever. That is, if you enter the wrong marriage, the spirit can depart. That's what happened to Samson. Shaved off his locks. Saul is another example. God departed from Saul. Why? Stubbornness and rebellion. These are the things we need to watch out for. So that we can move and transit from Isaiah 59 into Isaiah 60. Are you all with me? It's very, very important. Are you following me? So you find out also that the Bible says in the time of Eli, said the glory has departed. But see, God does not want to depart. So we have to make sure we watch out for all these things. Fornicating with the spirit of Babylon or even physical fornication. Watch out for those things. Stubbornness and iniquity. They are the things that make the Spirit of God withdraw from Christians or saints and depart. And when he leaves. Is when he comes, like on the day of Pentecost, he makes an announcement. When he leaves, he departs quietly. That's why Samson said, he wished not. There are many leaders in the body of Christ that the Spirit of God has departed from there, and yet they do not know. They still assume that he's still with them. Until the Philistines come and pluck out their eyes. Praise the Lord. That will not be a portion in Jerusalem. So let's now look at the scripture, Isaiah, Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 11, of how this actually takes place. Let's read together. As an eagle stirred up her nest, fluttered over her, her young, spread abroad her wings, taketh them and bred them on her wings. So we can see here that the eaglet cannot learn to fly alone. That's why I mentioned Good Morning Jesus or any other prayer for her, that you gather to pray united in the spirit. I follow me. You are supposed to catch the spirit of a leader. See, don't worry. You see, when I come to church at times, I see some of our youths, they don't pray. You know, they will be using their phone. You know, initially should be disturbed. But you see, as I was preparing, a thought came to me. Just make sure they come. Just make sure they are there. Make sure they are in a place called there. One day the thing will catch them. It's when you are not there that the thing will not have an influence. If you are in the upper room that day, how many of you probably not all of them were praying in faith. They are praying in unity and everything. Or when they were praying for Peter to be released, they didn't believe. But because we are in the place called there, that corporate anointing came upon them. You know, once I want to add it, I'll say it as best as I can. That, you know, when the soap says too much on the leaf, they will how do I let me say it in Yoruba. Let me say that, let them be coming. Why? Because some of them don't understand. But the most important thing for you to do is this: make sure they are there with you. Twice in the Bible, God talked to Abraham that I know him. The first time, he said, before he had a child, say, I know him. That he will command his children. Let me add to whether they like it or not. You know, that he command them in the way of the Lord to keep God's status and all that. The second time, over a period of time, was when God had observed Abraham. He said, now I know on Mount Moriah. Why was Isaac so submissive? Because if Abraham will make sure he obeyed God. Come here, son. Oh, yeah, sit down. Begin to pray. He didn't allow the flesh to rule Isaac. You know why? Because Isaac, when he was a baby, will not allow himself to be guarded and taken where he doesn't want. The natural flesh doesn't want to pray. Normal children, you want to tell a 15-year-old boy to grow. No, he's not going. He will do some. Unless you add something to, okay, if you pray well today, you give him something. Then the motivation for him at that stage is the blessing he's getting. Are you with me? So it's very important. So let us look at this scripture critically. It says that the mother eagle stirred up her nest, fluttered over her, please permit my pronunciation, over her young, spread forth abroad her wings, take them, bread them on her wings. Now, let me take some time to explain this to you. I read, Pastor gave us a book to read some years ago, and I went through it again about Eagle Saint's Arise. Very, very good book. I encourage you to try and get it. He says, you see, let me explain. I'll just try and explain. You see, when the eagle, when she gives birth, like Pastor Shiona did, she gives birth to her young ones and takes them, builds a nest for them in the mountain top. Why? A very secure place where nothing can happen to them. So the eaglets grow up with that security. And then, you know, I was reading, I was going about the eagle. Some of them, they feed their eaglets about 8 times in a day. Fresh meat. That the eaglets don't have to run. Just sit down. And then before you know, mama eaglet has come. They eat. They keep enjoying that day in, day out, day in, day out. I don't know for how long. Until suddenly something happens. It begins to tell that eaglet, by reason of time, you ought to be a teacher. You just want to keep feeding on milk. So you know what the thing begins to do? It begins to tear up that nest. Begins to remove everything. So the first thing that happens to the eaglet is this. It is a surprise. Wow. What is wrong with Mama Eagle? Mama Eagle? Why are you doing this to me? It's a type of a threshing floor. Where God begins to deal with his sons. Begins to remove everything. 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 Without explanation. So, I remove the nest and destroys it totally. The only option for the eaglet is to, you know, it will not spread out its wings. So, the only place that the eaglet can stay, that is safe, is jump behind Mama Eagle's wings. So, it prospects the wings. That process of fluttering is like when God chastens us. It begins to do like this. Flutter his wings. Begins to blow, you know, begins to blow everything apart. So after remove everything, all your props and confidences, the only thing after he spreads up his wings is for to jump on the wings of the eagle. So you know what the eagle does? He now takes the eaglet and soars high into the sky. So he's still comfortable there. But thank God, at least I'm safe, clinging to Mama Eagle's wings. Then all of a sudden, you just jump off from under the eaglet, leaving the eaglet in the sky. With the intention that the eaglet will spread forth her own wings and learn to soar. But you know what the eaglet does? It does not. It begins to cry. Wah, 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 wah. Then the mama eagle will now go under it and pick it up again. Then they keep repeating that same process. Trying to teach the eaglet to soar. Spread your wings! Spread your wings! So you see, there are two sets of people. There are the eaglets that after some time, you know, initially, they may not get it. But you see, each time they spread their wings, and the man that maybe one is still doing like this, will pick it up. The mama eagle is very happy. Okay, we'll continue like that. Until the day finally comes that the eaglet learns what actually, what the reason behind the tearing away of the nest, the comfort. He now spreads forth his wings, and then it begins to soar itself. Why? Because the eaglets must grow and learn to also soar in the heavenlies and pick up and get their own prey. Can you imagine if you have a child at the age of 40, you are still feeding the child, still in nursery school? You're saying, ha, But you know the other side of the story is this. There are some eaglets that refuse to fly. You know what the mama eagle does? After some time, out of frustration, it just withdraws. After he moves away from underneath the eaglet, and the eaglet doesn't spread out, after a period of time, it just moves away. Disgusted, allows the eaglet to fall down on the rock and die. The Bible says, some book of, I think it's Luke, it says that he that falls upon this rock shall be broken. One third. But he that the rock falls upon shall be grounded to powder. Zechariah says that two thirds shall be cut off. Those are the ones that failed to swear in this day. But the one third are those ones that spread their wings and learn to fly and soar in the skies. It's very, very important for us to know. Like Pastor said in that message, all birds, they fly by flapping their wings. That's how they all start, including the eagle. But not all birds learn to soar. The eagle will go to the top of the mountain, and when it gets there, it waits for the storm to come. The storm that the chicken will run away from and hide in its barn. That's what the eagle is always waiting for it. When the storm comes, that's when it spreads forth its wings and allows the wind, or so to speak, now the spirit, to carry to areas that it will never get to by flapping the wings. It's very important for us to know that. So, and like Pastor was sharing, you see, groanings is a type of the wind carrying us. Difference between groanings, or let me say, difference between the flapping of your wings and swearing is that the flapping of your wings is praying in tongues. It's similar to praying in tongues when you just wake up and you're praying. But when you begin to groan, groaning releases great volumes of power. The Bible says, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So when you pray in tongues, you're just flapping your wings. And the best you can do is, you know, maybe fly to a height and get on a tree, you know, like the robin, like Pastor was sharing, and then you can peck some fruits and come down. But not at the eagle. The eagle is going to go far into heavenly places. And then from that vantage point, he has a very, very sharp eyesight that he can spot. I think in one of the books I was studying about the eagle, he can spot a rodent about 2 miles from the sky with his eyes. So what are we saying? It's very, very important for us to learn the art of praying with groaning. It's not something we should despise. You see, the psalmist was saying some book of Psalm 89. He said, wherewith they, in the second last verse, he said, I think it's verse 51. He said, wherewith they have despised the footsteps of your anointed. There is a way that Christ walked upon the earth. Verse says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayer, supplication with strong kind trials, unto him that was able to for them, and it was hardened that he feared. Say, though he were his son, yet learned obedience by the things which he suffered. But look at what is going on today. In the book of, put it back in Psalm 89, verse 51. Psalm 89. David was lamenting. He said, I bear the reproach. Psalm 89, please, not Hebrews 5. He said, wherewith thy enemies, who are the enemies, the carnal Christians, have reproached, O Lord, wherewith they have reproached the footsteps of our anointed. So we are supposed to be like Ruth, to uncover the feet of Boaz and learn how he walked. But see, they are not doing that. Many of them like Opa. Because without learning how the master walked, there is no way we can fit prophetic destiny, which is our destiny to be like him. Are you with me? So it's very important. And I discovered when I was meditating as I was coming, you see, the Bible talks about four beings grown. God groans. Creation is groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. We, the saints of God, we groan. Are you with me? The Bible says that we that have the first fruit of the Spirit, you know, do groan, waiting for the adoption to wit, the redemption or the transformation of our body. So we too will groan. Why? It says, if you read, I think Romans chapter 8, verse 23, it says that we that have the first fruit of the Spirit, that is the earnest of the Spirit, we groan. See, if you don't groan, you can't explain the transformation of your body. God the Father himself groans. The Spirit of God groans. Say, likewise, the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with what? Groanings, which cannot be uttered. Satan too groans. Yes. I'll show you from scripture. You see, there's nothing that Satan does. He copies what God has done. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2 says that when the earth was tired, form and void, the Spirit of God was brooding, was groaning over dark years. To change it. Satan too does the same thing. I will show you. Psalm 7, verse 14. It's the same principle Satan operates. What does it say? Behold, he traveled with iniquity and has conceived mischief and brought forth falsehood. That's how the Bible calls him the father of lies. So iniquity was found in you. So it's the same principle all operate. It's either you travel to give birth. Are you following me? Or if you don't do it, this traveling of the enemy can overcome you. The Bible says, "Book Revelation chapter 4. So out of the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. And then the next thing say, you now see a sea of glass, clear as crystal. That's it. Papa Kelly said something years ago. He said, there's a groan from the throne. Come up, Peter. I will show you things that must be hereafter. God groans. The creation is groaning. Under the bondage of corruption, we Christians should begin to groan and take it serious. He says that that serpent cast a flood from his mouth against the woman that gave birth to the man child. You see, in the days that are ahead, if you don't learn this thing, it is very unlikely that you survive. I need to tell you because this is what God told me. Say there is a generation whose eyes are lofty and their eyelids are lifted up. It's the book of Proverbs. There is that generation that despise to obey the instruction of their father. There is a storm coming. That's what God. There is a storm coming. And you must learn to mount up with wings as eagles. The best any parent can do for you is to teach you at home, like you have been taught. But you are going one day to examination hall. Your parents can never enter with you. They can't even, they won't even allow them to move near the window to whisper the answers to you. It is what you have learned that will determine whether you pass the exam or you fail. Ask Jesus at Gethsemane. Say, Father, where are you? Why are you forsaking me? No answer. He was ushered into the examination hall. It was what he had inside that bailed him out. 3 hours of traveling prayer. Folks, it's real. We have been taught. Now let's begin to practice, because exam is coming. And when it comes, that's not the time to begin to try to read. You have mastered and learned it. Same thing on the mount. It just comes to me as I'm talking. When it was out of the Bible, said Satan came to tempt him. Did you hear God say anything? Well, when he answered the last question, the angels came and ministered to him. Understand. Have you considered my servant Job? Who's upright? Then they sent the tempter. That's your examiner. Why? David failed his exam when he ought to be in battle. So I made the enemies of God to blaspheme. Let me continue. So it's important for us to learn that art of groaning. It's not a doctrine. I'm going to show you by the grace of God. It's not Pastor Obi Johnson's doctrine. Many people think it is the doctrine of Pastor Obi. No. You see, I went through the same thing when I got born again and started attending this church. And people will say, why are you praying like this? And this is that. I went through this back and forth, affliction today, affliction. Before I learned that, look, God spoke to me in 1991. I can never forget. He said, you are born with travail, and by travail you will prevail in prayer. I wrote it down in my book. Because me okay, riro. Papara again said something in his book, The Interceding Christian. He said there are some people that will just get born again when you just talk to them about Jesus Christ. He said, some people will never get born again until you pray for them with groanings. Go and check the book out. So you can understand. He even said that there are some people that will get their healing like he got his own just by believing the word. He said some people never get their healing until somebody travels for them in bath. We see as we continue. So it's not something you toy with. Because if you don't travel in prayer, you can never soar. Difference is that, look, when you travel in prayer, it's like the jet engine compared to the propeller engine, like Pastor was sharing with us. The jet engine does about 4 things. It sucks in air, mixes it with fuel, and it compresses it, and ignites it, then it pushes out hot air. That is what enables you to make that thrust on the runway. That is why it's so fast. Let me explain the analogy to you. As I was praying, this is the thing that God shared with me. You see, I said, You know, let's look at this analogy. I'm explaining. This is what happens when we go for Good Morning Jesus prayers. The stirring starts between the hours of 3 a.m. and 4 a.m. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Say, you wake up with great fire before dawn and depart to a solid place and pray. Very important. The second thing that I put there is this. I said, many don't wake up. I don't really ask God give it to me. I'm not talking about anybody. Many keep on sleeping. Some people put on their phone and they will mute it. So they have the form of godliness. You think they are praying, but they are denying the power. They don't have the power of godliness. The Bible says that the day will declare it. Say, everyone's work shall be tried with fire. The day will declare it. We will know those that don't pray. We will know those that are not serious. It was Good Morning Jesus. Was a platform that God opened up for the fig tree that was not bearing fruit, so it can bear fruit. Mercy. Dunk it! One more year. Maybe it will bear fruit. Others. So I said, some sleep off in the departure lounge. The departure lounge is your prayer room. Either in the sitting room or where you pray. Some people, when they, I'm talking about when you want to travel now, want to fly by air. Some people, when they get up, I get in me, they get to the departure lounge. That is where they are, maybe their sitting room. And they sleep off. And they miss the first and the second flights between 5 a.m. and 6 p.m. and 6 p.m. and 7 p.m. So they didn't swallow that day. Meanwhile, the mother eagle had come with the wings spread out to carry them. Mercy, Lord. Others get distracted like matter. Combat about with much serving. The children must go to school. So instead of them to join, they join, meet it. They don't pray. They keep on cooking and doing all sorts of things. Or some people, when they get to the airport, instead of them to listen for the announcement, when the people begin to make the confessions and even sacrifice the altar, they get so distracted at the airport. Maybe they're looking out to these shops where you have free duty shops. So they announce the first place has started, the first flight has taken off. They are still playing around. They don't know. Are you with me? I'm saying it so we can correct our attitudes. Some can't go because they don't have a ticket. Who are those set of people? That is those that are not born again. They can't board that flight. They can't. Some, are you with me, have no boarding pass. Or they lost it. Those are Christians that are not baptized with the Holy Spirit. Your mental praying cannot deal with the challenges that we are facing. They don't have a boarding pass, so they can't enter. So what is the result of all this one? The one that slept, the one that is not born again, the one that, what does that mean? It means that so that they can't get on the plane, consequently on the runway of love before takeoff. That runway is love. When you start praying, the first prayer is love prayer. So once you don't have all those things, I've said, you're not born again, you're praying in tongues, or you have all those things and you forget that they're about to take off. So you can't get to the plane. And when the plane begins to taxi, the first thing you get before you can take off is you get on the runway. That runway is a type of love. I say, I show you a more excellent way. That's why it speaks about us putting on the old armor of love. So you can't put it on. And if you don't get on that runway, there's no way you can take off. And even before you get to the plane, you have to check your luggage. It's not a day to carry excess luggage. I'll explain to you the way your luggage. Not that you can't pay for it, but it's an expensive part to pray. Not like praying for 2 hours. What you pray for? Just 1 hour. Why do you want to waste money? Time. So that runway speaks about the love of God. And when you get into the plane, as it begins to move on the runway, you know, everybody will fasten their seatbelt with the girdle of truth, holding the armor in place. And they will now begin to take off. So the pilot and the co-pilot, those that are leading, the eagles, they begin to increase the speed. I follow with the consequent increase in the noise of the plane. As the plane gets on the runway, they will increase the speed. So here, the noise of the plane, it now changes from when it began to move slowly, it's now about to take off. That's what happens when we groan. The noise increases, the jet engine begins to fire at full speed, all cylinders firing. Why? So that they can overcome the gravitational pull. I seek you to hold it down. But see, the guarantee is that once you are on eagle's wings, you are in that plane, you are going to mount up together. Praise the Lord. It's very important for us to know that. So, that's why, and the Bible says, well, Galatians, says that against such, there's no law. You know, it's the law of gravity that holds us down. A type of love, the spirit of life in Christ, the law of lift and law of gravity holds us down. Bible says in Galatians, say, against such, there's nothing can hold you down. If you get on that wrong way, you have all things I've said. Are you with me? And now the next stage is to be caught up. Now, how do we get caught up from the wrong way? It's by traveling prayer. Revelation chapter 12, verse 2. These things are clear in scripture. What do I say? And she being what? Being with child, cried, say cried, traveling with in birth and pained to be delivered. Verse 5, because of time. What's the consequence of that woman traveling in birth to give birth? And she brought forth a man child who was to rule the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up onto the throne of God and unto God and stone. The consequence of an increase in speed by the pilot and the co-pilot. The consequence of that, the noise, which is a type of travel, so that the child or whoever is in that plane can be caught up to the throne of God. Are you with me? So, I put it here as I was preparing. God spoke something to me. I write it down. I said, we are born to reign as we are born on eagle's wings through traveling prayer. One is B-O-R-N, the other is airborne. So we are born to reign as we are born on eagle's wings through traveling prayer. Now, when I was studying the eagle, I saw another aspect of the eagle, how it deals with serpents. I quickly run through it. It's very important. There are some eagles, not all eagles, that are a terror to serpents. Yeah, when you hear the word serpent, you know we are talking about Satan. And then you are the eagle saint. Are you with me? So one thing the eagle does is it can see afar off. So once Satan begins to plot a particular trajectory, and the eagle saint can spot it and say, no. You know when Moses was on the mountain, it was the eagle saint. Little eaglet, Joshua, was down. As they were coming down, you know what the eaglet said? He said, Oga, there's war in the camp. Eaglet. The eagle said, no, this is not the war of those that are. He said, this is a revelry. Difference between the eaglet and the eagle. Are you with me? Maturity. So he can see afar. Then the next thing, he suddenly swoops down, suddenly, granting him, Lord, grabbing that snake immediately. He flies down, whew, and picks up the serpent. That's Satan. You know what he does? He doesn't fight Satan on Satan's stuff. Why are you trying to fight Satan in the flesh? He takes the snake straight up back into the air. You know why? Once he starts mounting up back into the air, the serpent begins to die because of what they call, what's the right Bible saying? Die asphyxia or something like that. Lack of oxygen. Because the snake can't breathe at that altitude. Yeah. What did you call it again? Asphyxia. So it takes Satan from that realm of natural realm and takes it up. Mount up with it. So you know while he's taking it up, you know what happens? The serpent begins to bite. But you see, God has made it such that the eagles, the claws have thick scales. So as he begins to bite, it cannot penetrate. That's what you do when you use the shield of faith to quench the fiery dart of the devil. Well, the first thing the eagle does, it cuts off the head. When it cuts off the head, you know the next thing it does, it swallows up the snake head first. The question is this, before I give scriptures to explain to you, I say he picks up a serpent, a type of Satan, and goes to fight in the heavenly places. The Bible says the heavens do rule. Let's fight here. I'm playing now. Let's go. Over there for Satan is an away match. The cloud of witnesses are waiting for us, cheering us on. Why don't you fight Satan in the flesh? He will defeat you. So he cuts off the head. Now the question is, how come the eagle is able to survive that high altitude? As I read, you don't believe what God showed me. I read it's all internet. The eagle has air sacs attached to his lungs. So before he mounts up, he sucks in air like the jet engine.
Then through the lungs, it now passes to the air sacs. So when it gets there, it begins to release that air, which the serpent does not have. Speaking about the life of God. The Bible says that, you know, death and life in the power of tongues. I've come that I may have life and I may have it more abundantly. So it takes it up there. So the sentence happened because you die because of a lack of oxygen. So the next thing he does is because of that, the serpent is weak. So instead of the serpent becoming the dragon, he dies the serpent at the third level. And he swallows up head first. Scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 4. Mortality is swallowed up of life. Romans chapter 6, verse 20. And the God of peace shall do what? Bruise Satan under your feet suddenly. Last scripture that God gave me. Exodus chapter 7, verse 12. Aaron's rod swallows up the serpents of Jannes and Jambres. Always remember, don't try to fight Satan in the flesh. The snare is always laid for the bird. The snare of the fowler is always on the ground. Someone in the book of Job says it. You can't, I always seen that a fowler is a bird trapper. Can they throw a trap in the air? No. So on the ground. So if you don't learn to mount up by groanings, you are meat for the devil. We're not meat for the devil in Jesus' name. Paul says that it says dust the serpent's meat. So why is this measure very, very important as I begin to try to round up? Number one, God is calling us to rule all the nations with the rod of iron. Micah chapter 4 verse 8, he wants to restore back to us the dominion that Adam lost. Isaiah chapter 6 verse 8 says that, shall a nation be born at once? As soon, say as soon, not before. Zion traveled, she brought forth her children. We are to rule the nations with the rod of iron. I said we shall rule over all nations from the scripture I read in Revelation. You know, we are going to give birth to a new Nigeria. We'll go to Russia, we'll give birth to a new Russia. We'll go to anywhere in the world. Shall Russia be born at once? Yes. Even if it means taking off Putin. Yes. Pastor, you take away the hold that he may establish the new. Says some God will take away without hand. In a moment, that is what will bring to birth many nations. Maybe not all. Some will change. Like they can. Some will not change. There's no space for two people. So another has to come forth. Right now, Saul may be reigning, you know. But the spirit of God and an evil spirit is controlling. But David is going in the wilderness. So when Saul dies suddenly, David comes to the throne. Very important you understand what is going on. You understand the times and seasons and what Israel ought to do. Don't follow Saul to battle, lest you be killed on Mount Gilboa. Stay with David in the wilderness, in the cave of Adullam. You will not be perfect. Just stay with David. Like Abigail said, he said, we know that you are going to become king. People know. But some people, like Jonathan, they stay with their father. And they cost him. Lord, help me. Let's continue. The second point is for the life of God to be made manifest in our mortal flesh. It's only going to come by groanings. It is only going to come by groanings. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 4. What does it say? See, while we are in this tabernacle, let's go. Let's go. For we that are in this tabernacle do what? Groan. Being bodied, not for that we should be unclothed. That is, we don't want to die. I'm not groaning because I want to die. But clothed upon that what? Mortality might be swallowed up of life. Just like I was sharing with you. The rod of Aaron swallowed up the snakes, the serpents of Jannes and Jambres. That's the only way. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10. Pastor, quote your time. Don't turn there. So always bearing about in our body the dying of Lord Jesus Christ. That's why you do when you're mounting them. That the life of Christ be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Romans 8, verses 10 and 11. Say, if Christ be in you, then the body is dead because of sin. But the spirit is life because of right standing.
Say, if the spirit of him that raised up Christ from death dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from death shall also give life or quicken your mortal bodies. How is it going to come to pass? By 2 Corinthians 5:4 that I read. We groan in this body, not that because we want to die, but the mortality of a sort of life. I give an example. Sometimes, you see, some people, you see, I said something later on. I, when I got born again, different people are saying this, don't grow, don't do this. When affliction came, I would sleep at night in those days. Something will enter at a particular time, and it will press me. I wake up sweating. And I will see those foolish friends. They are not here. See, it's not. I said, look, that when God told me, he said, you are not just born by being witness to some people actually prayed for you to come. They battered you from the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of light. So you better do it. It's someone that has a particular sickness. I recommend drugs for him. And he says, okay, no. Or someone that has COVID-19. They give him a drug. Say, no. Simply just temperature. He's taking malaria tablets. He will die! I took it serious. A little boy left me. I give you another example. As a day I woke up, and there was this terrible pain. It was really aching me. My hand was aching me. I didn't know what to do. I was almost crying. I opened my Bible. The Bible for that day, I think it's in Psalm 30, verse 1. It said, that has heard my crying, and that has healed me. The thing just jumped at me. I began to pray. All of a sudden, it just left. I said, what? That is the only way you can pump out that life in your spirit, man. But say the kingdom of God says, he says that it allows intense exertion. Matthew 11:12. Say, share in the heavenly kingdom is sought with most ardent zeal and intense exertion. Our Lord Jesus Christ, our pattern, the Bible says, who in the days of his flesh? Okay, say, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, until this present time, the kingdom of heaven has endured violent assault, and violent men seize it by force. How? A precious prize, a share in the heavenly kingdom is sought with most ardent zeal. Say ardent zeal. And intense exertion. You're not praying from your head. It's not the noise. It's intense exertion. When that jet takes in air, it mixes it with fuel. It compresses it. And then it ignites it. Then hot air comes out. Boom. You know, my sister can't fight it. He has no answer to it. He has no answer to it. So you bring all kinds of people, all kinds of doubt to you. You read it, you see it, you still doubt. Strong crying and tears in days of his flesh. And look at it. The Bible says, as soon as Anne traveled, she brought forth her children. What do you want to do about that? Galatians chapter 4, verse 19 says, my little children, of whom I'm traveling back again unto Christ from you. What do you want to do about that? In Colossians 4, say, Epaphras, one of you, liberate fervently. What do you want to do about that? You know, I just mentioned, you see, when I saw, the first time I ever saw groanings, somebody gave me a book about interceding Christian. You know, it's good to be a honest Christian. No? Says that, except you be like a little child. So I saw it. I said, God, I want to do this thing. No. I was in my room. I just opened it. I was less than 6 months. And immediately, all of a sudden, the thing just came upon me. I just began to pray. After I did it for some time, I said, what's wrong with you? What is this you are doing? Isn't that what Satan tells all of us? It brings doubt and unbelief. That scripture is Psalm 30, verse 2. It says that I cried unto the Lord, and thou hast healed me. Are you with me? Third point, groanings in prayer is what takes us from stage 1 of our spiritual growth to another level. I did mention it. Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. My little of whom I traveling, but again unto Christ for you. God spoke that to me personally one day. He said, for you to move from baby to little child, you have to. That's what, and when I look at that scripture, that is what he's saying. My little of whom little children, baby. Of whom I traveling, but again, the process, you move from baby to little child, or little child to young man to father, until Christ before me. So if you don't travel, you can never, you if you stop traveling, at little child, that's where you are. You stop. You progress. It's like moving from the most holy place to the holy place back to the outer court. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. Okay, what are we saying? Fourth point. I want us to take note of this. To overcome the abounding iniquity in this end time. Folks, iniquities are abounding. It's because we are under covering. It's not always since God shields them from us. But we have come to the time that the mother eagle is going to jump away and let the eaglet fly. If it can fly. We'll fly in Jesus' name. The other day I shared, for example, I was coming on the way. Broad daylight. I saw people. I thought it was a live season on the internet. I saw on YouTube. I saw people at Mokala there where the flyover drops. Some boys, about three of them, tying red wrapper and having what they call spiritual bath in the daylight. I said, you don't want to travel. Satan is traveling with iniquity, bringing forth falsehood, and is working for his people. That's how witchcraft operates. Things that you will never imagine that will happen before is going on before our very eyes. Folks, it's not only unbelievers. They kidnap Christians, though, and they kill Christians. Thank God for covering. But one day is one day. Mama ego will move away. God himself will say, move away. This is enough. Let me test him. What did Jesus Christ tell John? Peter? He said, Satan, I desire to sift you as wheat. He didn't say I will stop him. He said, but I've prayed for you that your faith will not fail. And like I read the other day in the book of, in the Amplified Bible, it was said to all of them. He said, but when you are converted, that is when you take a receipt, strengthen your brethren. That is, you are allowed to take a receipt. One day I was breaking, the daughter spoke to me. He said, do you know what that means? He said, wheat is fruit. He said, God is looking for fruit. So when you sift wheat, or when you winnow on the threshing floor, you are removing the chaff. He said, you know what he told me? He said, you know what the chaff is? Feigned love. Wheat is fruit now. Happy? That's what you want to get. God wants fruit of my life. But there's so much chaff that is pretending to be love. Because the fruit is love. So all these things, if you have been there the day that Saul gave his armor to David, say, he loved him. He didn't love him. That's why there's a shaking to test your connections. Faint love won't survive it though. He told Peter, I'll pray for you that faith will not. Peter said, I will die for you. Faint love. But to do where? He ran away. That was what I said. He said, Peter, lovest me more than this. At that time, Peter had still not gotten it. The chaff will go. Things that look like love that is not love. That's what he wants. Naomi told Ruth, he said, tonight, say, go to the threshing floor. Tonight, the winner barley. Say, when you get there, uncover the feet and learn how you walked. Passover and Pentecost, barley harvest and wheat harvest. Use the threshing floor. So he was preparing Peter for Pentecost. For us, it's tabernacles, fruit. We are going to the wine press. We are going to be crushed. So the fruit can come out. The king is thirsty for wine. It's the wine press for us, not the threshing floor. God will help us to make it. You need every ounce of prayer to survive the coming storm. Not to make us afraid, but God is looking for the precious fruit of the earth. I had long patience for it. What are we saying? I said, to overcome the abounding iniquity in the air. Matthew 24, verse 12 says, iniquity will abound and love of men wax cold. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. In Amplified Bible, let's put the scripture behind it as we begin to round up. What does it say? It says that, but understand. Many people don't understand. Say, but understand this. That in the what? Last days. We are the last of the last days. Will come, say, set in. Let's set in. What? Perilous times of great stress and trouble. Hard to deal with and hard to bear. See what Boko Haram is doing. Difficult to deal with. Not that we will deal with it though. But we said this end time is set in perilous places. So those that will survive are those that learn to swear.
or the eaglets that are soaring on eagle's wings, the mother eagle's wings.
Praise the Lord.
To encourage us, God has given us a note of victory. Revelation chapter 3, verse 10. He said, because you have kept what my patience, I have not denied my name. How so will keep you from the hour of temptation that is coming to try you. But the issue is the temptation is going to come. He has come. How are we going to do these things? To summarize, say battle prayer, commandment prayer, and frequent prayers. So let me run through it. We all know we use the blood, word, and spirit to pray with all kinds of prayer in the spirit. Romans chapter 8, I didn't have time to go there, but it's very important scripture. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. It says, likewise, the Spirit himself make an intercession for us with groanings, which cannot be uttered in articulate speech. And he that searcheth the hearts, know what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So that groan you release is according to the will of God. You're like the groan that comes from God's throne, that thundering, it turns to voices. Lightnings, thunderings, and then voices. So God understands. Don't doubt it. Volumes, rivers of living water is coming out of rebellion. You take in the life, you mix it with where it turns to power like pastor goes to your chest region. Then you begin to, you ignite it by the power of the Spirit. And it comes out, goes into the atmosphere, dislodges Satan from the atmosphere. So, we use the blood and the Spirit to pray with all kinds of prayer in the Spirit. God reminded me of something. You pray petitions, supplications, groanings. He brought the scripture to me. I shared it before. Matthew chapter 7, verse 5. Spirit maketh it. He says that it takes hold without because it can say helpeth and infirmities. That word in Greek is takes hold together with against. Now, look at what he says. Say thou hypocrite. Say thou hypocrite. So, if you have a problem with hypocrisy, this is how you deal with it. Supplication. First, cast out the beam out of thy own eye, the eye of your understanding. First, supplication. Then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Second, supplication. So you have a problem. Hypocrisy is just an example. That is, you hear and you don't do. Begin to supplicate, you start doing. I pray you got that. Job chapter 40, verse 15. I'll read. Say, behold now the behemoth which I have made with thee. Eateth grass as an ox. Verse 16. Now his strength is in his loins, and his force is in the navel of his belly. Intense exertion. From here. Like when you are constipated, or a woman as in labor ward. Elijah is an example. But these things are ready for admonition. Unto whom what? The ends of the world have come. And I said, I wrote this there. God showed me something. I said, it is better you do this in the morning before eating. I'll explain to you. I'll show you scripture. Yeah, we want to use one scripture. Just like I said, take it to yourself so that your heart is not overcharged. Your spirit man with suffering and drunkenness and cares of that day does not come upon you unawares. Let's go to Job. Job chapter 3, verse 24. You understand what I'm saying? Even though Job was complaining about this problem, but come and see what God is trying to tell us. Just like the Bible says in the book of Isaiah, he says that with time and another tongue will speak to these people. Yeah, they will not hear. And then Paul comes and brings it out that he's talking about tongues. So don't see it in natural as the affliction that came upon Job. Let us read. For my sign, come right before I eat, or else your heart will be overcharged. And my roarings are poured out like waters. Better to do it before you eat. Don't wake up tomorrow and go and load. I'm not saying you don't eat. Though. If you are strong, you are not feeling well, eat something, please. So that your spirit can be alert. So you can pump out the life of God. Insufficient measure. Deep collect unto the beat. At the noise of their waterfalls, the waves and blues have gone over me. Very important that we know that. So all that traveling prayer, is what gets us airborne. We now get to cruising altitude. For us to stay airborne, two things we do. We pray the commandment prayer, like Pastor has taught us, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 to 7. It says that you shall teach your children, they will speak this word, you know, when they go out, when they sit down, when they lie down. I follow me. And then the second thing you do, at cruising altitude, you're not necessarily groaning again. You're just praying with your thoughts, you are praying with your words, you are praying in tongues. But you see, I know by experience, if you don't do that thing in the morning, the devil will take your thought captive. You try, I will try to read my Bible like this when I don't properly. I'll be looking at it like this. I can't read it. Once I'll be looking at it like this. He showed you last one. There's a prince of the power of the air. It will stop you from doing it. But when you do it, because each one releases the power for the next one. The traveling prayer releases the power for you to take the commandment prayer. The commandment prayer releases the power for you to watch and pray always. So you can't go and pick the easiest one without that one. If you are a newly born Christian, or a baby, you can't understand. It will cover you. That's what covering does. But like I said, the grace must learn to swallow. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. What does it say? Continue what? In prayer. So, you've done part of prayer. Commandment prayer. Say now, don't stop. Say what? Continue in prayer and watch in the same with what? Thanksgiving. The continuity comes from the power of this doing part of prayer and commandment prayer. So, you take the serpent. We're going to stop now. Begin to talk to God. Take that serpent high up in the heavens, where it cannot breathe properly. It cannot operate there. Then you cut off the head, spiritually speaking. The God of peace shall boost it down under your head, under your heel, shortly. Then you swallow it up. Death is swallowed up in victory. That's how you deal with Satan. Let's stand to our feet. There's a scripture I heard a man, a lady of God, mention recently, and I believe it's very important. Joel chapter 3, verse 9, as we talk to God. Joel chapter 3, verse 9. Please be on the board as we begin to talk to God. Say, proclaim ye among the Gentiles. Prepare war. Wake up, ye mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up to where? Mount Zion. We go up by the way of the water spout. Here we are waiting.
Abide in us, we pray. Here we are longing.
Here we are longing for you. Hide us in your love, bring us to our knees.
May we know Jesus,
may we know Jesus more and more.
Come live in us,
come live.
All our lives, spirit, soul, and body, Lord. Yeah.
God just brought two scriptures in my heart. The first one, I'm not sure I read it, in the book of Isaiah chapter 14, Amplified Bible, the last verse. And then the second scripture I will also read. So put in Isaiah chapter 14, in the Amplified Bible, the last verse, where it says that, but those who wait for the Lord, who expect, look for, and hope in Him, shall change and renew their strength and power. They shall lift up their wings and mount up close to God, as eagles mount up to the sun. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint or become tired. The second scripture that God just brought in my heart is the state of the church. Open to Hosea chapter 8, verse 12. These things have been taught over and over and over and over again. This place has been persecuted for this issue of warnings. Many have left. Many have left because of this. They are in big trouble today. I thought that God will restore them back. If you don't grow, the flesh will be destroyed. It is going to be destroyed. But that is the only way you can put life into that body. Or else you keep on having trouble in the flesh. Believe me. See, God was talking to Israel. I have written to him the great things of my law. Hosea 8 chapter 12. I have written to him the great things of my law. Love the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. We're talking about. They were counted as a strange thing. You know what they did? They sacrificed flesh for the sacrifices of my offerings. The burnt offering, the peace offering, all those offerings that I've been talked about. And eat it. But the Lord accepted them not. Now will he remember their iniquity and visit their sins. They shall return to Egypt. The world begin to dominate them. The loss of flesh, the loss of eyes, and the pride of life. For Israel had forgotten his maker and builded temples, branches all over the place. How many branches did Jesus Christ have? And Judah had multiplied fenced cities. And I will send a fire upon his cities. I shall devour the palaces thereof. 1 Corinthians 3. The dead will declare it. Every man shall be tried by fire. That's what God is going to do. That is what he's going to do. Two thirds shall be cut off. Not necessarily that they will die. Some of them will come back like Pastor has taught. The remaining one third will go to the fire. They have left the weightier matters of the law. Building temples all over the place. I said, that's what God told us to do. Let us pray. The Lord, please have mercy on us. So receive your blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Your life and your power in sufficient measure as we pray now. Heavenly Father, I thank you for a word that has come to me today, reminding me as an eagle saint to practice the daily praying with all kinds of prayers, with groanings. I come under covering to receive fresh mercy and grace, to practice this so that I can overcome the sin nature in the air and also in my flesh. I'll be part of that committed overcomer vanguard that is destined to rule the nations with the rod of iron. Let's now pray in tongues. Father, we thank you. Lord, just thank you. Holy Spirit, thank you. In Jesus' name, we say, Lord, have mercy on us. And deliver them for their destructions. Mark chapter 16 says that they went everywhere and preached the word. The Lord confirmed the word with signs following. One of the confirmations that God will give you that this word I've spoken today is not for myself, is to heal you of every disease. God says, who forgiveth all our iniquities? Who will let all our diseases? For two reasons. One, to let you know that God loves you. So receive your healing. The second reason is so you won't have an excuse that I did not know. Because you remember that when the God spoke this word, he confirmed with a sign for you to know. Ever, thank you for everyone that is trusting you. I join my faith with them of the fathers of the house. We send forth your healing word to heal them. First of all, we ask for forgiveness of sins that might hinder the power from flowing to them. We receive their healing by faith now with thanksgiving. The Bible says that you took our infirmity, you bore our sickness. By stripes, I pronounce you healed, delivered in the name of Jesus.